If you will, turn in your Old Testaments to Daniel, the third chapter. Tonight we look at Daniel chapter 3, a lesson of faith. And this is a story again that, as we talked about the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 17 the other day, it's nothing new. We're going to talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these three Hebrew children. And you could tell me about this story. And your children and your grandchildren that you've told the story to could tell me about these three boys. But there's quite a history here. The Babylonian king, Nabopolassar, who made it a real kingdom as he destroyed and defeated Assyria, and you know that story. And then later, after Nabopolassar died, his son with as long a name, Nebuchadnezzar, came along. And God's people weren't doing what they should be doing. And about 600 years before Christ came, just as the prophet said that he would, his people were taken off into Babylonian captivity. A captivity that the prophets had said is going to happen, and it's going to be 70 years, and 70 years it was, but God's people denied it, even though the prophets said, "Repent or perish," and they said, "You all get on back home. We don't want to hear that kind of preaching," and it's a lot like that today. We want the feel-good preaching, the positive mental attitude, don't they, Dan? A lot of people want that kind of preaching. I don't think that's true here. I think you're getting good, based, sound, scriptural teaching, and that's what you ought to demand. That's what you ought to ask for. You know that Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were taken into captivity, but they remained faithful to God. And they were promoted and elevated in the Babylonian kingdom because of that, and because God was with them, just as He was with Joseph earlier, and as He was with David and many, many others. You remember the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, and that his magicians could not answer, and he said, "You're all going to die if you don't tell me my dream." And they said, "Well, tell us something about it so we can interpret it for you." And he said, "It ain't going to happen." And these four boys were a part of that group. They were going to die, and they prayed to God. And they got an answer, and Daniel prayed to God and thanked God for the answer, and he interpreted the dream, and you can read about that in chapter 2. And you know what that dream was about. The four kingdoms that was going to follow, and of which Babylon was one. And then the last of the four was the Roman Empire, and the new kingdom began, just as Daniel said it would, under that reign of that fourth empire. Then we need to quickly come down to chapter 3, and we want to go through this chapter. This is something you've read many, many times, so it will be familiar to you. But I want to show you, I want you to feel like you are one of these three boys, okay? You just pick one, whichever one, and as we used to say down home, you just tend like you was one of them, okay? All right? And see what they had to go through, and the first thing that we find is their faith is going to be challenged. Just as our faith is challenged today. Young people, your faith is going to be challenged. It already is being challenged. What are you doing with the challenges? Those of us who are older, your faith is being challenged. How are you doing with that challenge? Listen to the challenge that they had to endure and see if your challenges match up with this one. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. This was a statue that was about 90 feet tall and it was all covered with gold. Verse 2, then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. You got that? When I was a little boy in Peoria, Illinois, we had a big bridge built across the Illinois River. And they invited all of the bigwigs, and you know who wasn't invited? Mo wasn't invited. They had a ribbon-cutting ceremony, and nope. Sorry. They only invited the big politicians and all the people that were a big name. And so that's what's happened here. And the reason is that they're going to take the new law that they're going to learn, they're going to take it all back to their provinces and tell all of their people about this new God that Nebuchadnezzar has built. Verse 4, then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages." And the reason the herald had to cry out aloud, because the idol could not. They're dumb idols. Read Psalm 115. And you'll read more about the idols. Verses 4 through 8. They have tongues, but they can't talk. Eyes, but they can't see. Feet, but they can't walk. And on David goes. He does the same thing in Psalm 135. And he says, those that make them are just like the idols. And that's not a compliment. So the herald says, okay, everybody pay attention. Verse 5, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all the kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Folks, their court system was not like ours, as we will see. If you were going to be, if the sentence was death, you didn't lay in jail for month after month, year after year. That day was the day. Okay? You didn't get a lawyer and help defend yourself and go to another trial and go to another court. No, the death sentence was carried out immediately. And so he says, if you don't bow when you hear this music playing, you're going to be cast into a burning, fiery furnace. A horrible death. Just thinking about it, the anticipation of it is a horrible death. And so that's the law. Verse 7, therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all the kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. This is the old expression, and this is true here. Everybody's doing it. We use that statement today. Well, everybody's doing it, so why can't I? Well, every nation and people, when they heard the sound of the music, they all fell down, they all worshiped this golden image that the king had set up. There's the challenge. What are you going to do? When you hear something, and the way our country is going, there's going to be laws that are going to be made that are going to challenge your faith. What will you do? Will you compromise, or will you take a stand? Come what may. We ought to obey God rather than man, Peter says in the book of Acts. And so, here is the challenge. And now, I might be able to stand the challenge, but now accusations are going to be made, beginning here in verse 8. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all, and dulcimer, and all the kinds of music shall fall down and worship the image. All right, if I'm the king and they're repeating what I've said, I'm sitting, yep, that's what I've said. Whenever you hear that sound, you gotta bow. 11, and whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Did you say that? Yes, sir, that's the law. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And chapter 2, verse 49 tells us that very thing. I think there's a little bit of jealousy going on here because some foreigners have come in. And listen to verse 49 of chapter 2. Then Daniel requested the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king. They were all four elevated, politically elevated. And the Chaldeans or the Babylonians didn't like it one bit. And so when they saw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego not bowing, not falling down to the earth when the sound music was played, we got them. We're going to the king, we're going to kill them, and they'll be out of our way. Then we can climb the corporate ladder. So they remind the king of his statement and the punishment, and tell them who it is that is breaking his law. They haven't, in the verse 12, they have not regarded thee. They serve not by gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. Well, how's the old king going to take to it? Verse 13 begins to tell us, we have found their faith challenged. Secondly, their faith is accused. And now their faith is going to be threatened. You might, as we said, be able to stand during the challenge. Well, I'm not going to do that. And then when somebody finds out that you're not doing what the king says, and they tell on you, and the king now, let's see what he says, and as he gives the threat. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. What did it say? In his what? Rage and fury. As we said the other night, we didn't have to ask our parents if they were angry. We could tell they were angry. Okay? All right? So in his rage and fury, because he cannot have anybody in his kingdom disobey him, because if one does, two will, and three will, and then it'll all be over. Just like Queen Vashti. When she disobeyed the king, the men said, we can't have that. We'll have total rebellion if you don't do something. And he did. You know the rest of that story. So he jumps on it. Verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? I give him a little bit of credit here. Perhaps by the time that these three boys got to him, he calmed down a little bit, and he would know how valuable they were to his kingdom as Daniel was. And so he asked them, are you not bowing down as I've to the image that I've set up? So he's going to give them a second chance, verse 15. Now, if ye be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all the kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, it'll all be, will be forgiven. If you'll do that. Maybe you weren't here, maybe you didn't know the law. Okay? So we're going to give you another chance. And all will be well. But if you worship not, if you continue in this vein, ye shall be cast the same hour. What did we say? 10 years later, 20 years later, 30 years later, death row. Same hour. Into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? He didn't know a God. His new 90-foot gold-laid God could not save anybody from that burning, fiery furnace. There was no nation that had any God, because Nebuchadnezzar had gone through a lot of nations. He killed them all. He destroyed their gods. And he didn't know a God that could deliver anybody from a burning, fiery furnace. Once you're cast in there, you're toast, so to speak. No God. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? He had the power of life and death. Well, in essence, in verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, there's no need to talk about this, O king. Listen, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, we walk by faith and not by sight. Remember what Paul said in Philippians 1 and 21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If you die right now, will it be a gain? If for you to live is Christ, then to die will be gain. If for you to live is fame, for you to die will not be gain. If for you to live is popularity in school or work or wherever it might be, for you to die will not be gain. You replace that word, for me to live is, you replace it, you take Christ out and put anything else in there, then it will not be a gain for you to die. Paul was ready to die. I remember when the Russians were threatening us and we thought there was going to be a bomb in our backyard. Any day now, everybody was building bomb shelters. I was in high school. People were building bomb shelters and putting food in there because, oh, it's the end is coming. And I heard a preacher say, let the first bomb be in my backyard. Are you ready to go? Well, where are you going? If somebody said, I'll take you to Hawaii right now, today, I've called your boss, I've taken care of all the problems, any troubles, any expenses, if you can go right now, what would you say? No, I'd rather not. No, you might think, you know what? You could change your mind. Something could happen. If I don't go now, you might say, well, you missed your chance. For me to live is Christ, to die. Paul was ready to die. And you know, when Christians died in the first century, the enemies couldn't understand it. How they could be happy. It kind of ruined the thrill of their death. They'd go into the torture singing praises to God. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? Can you do that? Bring it on. It's one of those heads I win, tails I win. You can't hurt me. Kill me. Do whatever it is. And so they tried to devise all kinds. They didn't want you to die a quick death, so they devised slow deaths. And I can't even tell you about them. Too horrible. Too horrible. You can read Fox's Book of Martyrs where some of them. But these boys were ready to die. And what'd they tell this great, powerful, world-ruling king? You don't know a God, but we do. And if he chooses, he can save us out of your hands, O king. And we're not careful. We're not, oh, don't kill us, don't kill us. Let her rip. If it be so, our God whom we serve, verse 17 again, is able to deliver us. Don't we sing about that? He is able to deliver. Oh, yes, he is. From the burning fiery furnace. I wrote an article about 40 years ago about an air-conditioned furnace. What? There's an air-conditioned furnace, and we're going to meet it here in a minute, aren't we? But there's also another furnace that God has prepared. Not air-conditioned. But these boys said, be it our God's will, he can do it. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. I always wondered what that meant. You know how we'd say that? Make it as hot as you can. There were no gauges. Just throw all the fire on it you can. Put it, load it up. This man was angry again. You know what he was used to? Having his way. Did you ever see a spoiled little child? When he didn't get his way, what's he do? He gets mad. He gets mad. And this king is mad. He's like a little kid. Didn't get in his way. So heat it as hot as you can. Okay, you're Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. One of them. You pick your name. Alright, you have stood the challenge. You have stood the accusations. You have stood the threats. Now comes the test. You know what I might say, boys? Let's have a little talk. Because he's offered us an out here. Shadrach, Meshach. We can walk out of here today if we just say, yeah, okay, you blow the trumpets, you blow the all that, and we'll hit the ground. But if you two boys don't want to, then I'm going to. Been a temptation, wouldn't it? Huh? Tell me. Oh, I'll tell you what, I'd have stood. Really? How do you do on Sunday night? How do you do on Wednesday? How do you do in a gospel meeting? The problem is, people like that aren't here tonight, are they? But they'd tell you, oh, if I'd have been Shadrach, I'd have stood right up. No, you wouldn't. Because once the challenge came and the test came, the accusation came, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. When you read this, you got to read it like you're there. That's part of meditation, folks. Slow down when you're, oh, I got to read 12 chapters. No, you don't. No, you don't. Heat it as hot as you can. Verse 20, and he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Used to work at Caterpillar Tractor, and they had these heat treat furnaces. Every once in a while I'd walk by and they'd have that thing open. Guess what I thought about? Have you ever heard the roar of a heat treat furnace? Just horrible. I mean, 1 second in there, in that heat, unbearable heat, you're gone. Get the strongest men, bind them. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, their other garments, and were cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Somebody suggested, one commentator said that they usually had prison garb, but what did the king say? The very hour you're condemned, you're going to die if you don't. That hour has come. Perhaps a minute after he made that statement and they replied, we're not worried about what you're going to do to us. You go right ahead. And that infuriated that man, didn't it? In his rage and fury, first of all. Then he was full of fury. And as I said, you could tell he was angry. And then what he said and what he did. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They had to take them up. Listen. You picture an igloo, okay? You got an igloo pictured? And there's a hole in the front where you can throw the wood and build a fire. And on the top of that igloo, there's a big cutout where all the smoke and fire can escape like a chimney. You got that? So these three boys were marched up on top of that burning, fiery furnace. And you know what's coming out of that chimney like, that hole? You ever gotten a whiff of a fire? Ever blow in your face all of a sudden? Does it take your breath and make you cough? Your lungs are so tender. By the way, when you're smoking, you're destroying them. If that's your habit. And those big, strong, mighty men that had bound Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they took a breath of that fire, and it killed them. After they had cast these three boys down into the fire. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished. He was amazed. Now their faith is triumphant. You know what they did not know? They hadn't read Daniel chapter 3, had they? They didn't know, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. They were going to die for the God they loved and trusted. Because what had they just said? He can save us if He wants to. And if not, so what? You can't hurt us. They fell down into the fire. Nebuchadnezzar, I said he had a front row seat, wouldn't you? Sitting out there in that opening of that furnace where he could look in and see. I know he could see because he tells us. He was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, some yes men, true, O king, yeah. I can see him looking into the hole there. Didn't we just throw three men in there? Yeah. He answered and said, 25, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. He said that. The king of the most powerful nation on earth. He is amazed. He is astonished. He said they are loose. They are walking around. My granddad, when I was a little boy, he taught me a trick. He said, this will impress the girls. Always wanting to do that. Had a candle, and he showed me. He said, well, look at there. He said, now don't do this. Don't linger. Oh, that'll get her attention. Don't stop. Now, I know that's a bad trick, but I had sense enough not to stop. And he used to burn leaves, you know, when that was legal. And we thought it was cute to jump over the fire, you know. You know one thing I never did do? Is jump in the fire and stand there. Did you? And you know what happened? Just jumping over that fire or standing close to that fire, I'd go in the house and Mama say, whew, you've been burning leaves. Yeah, you just smell. Just standing by it. That's going to come into the story here. The king is astonished, said, didn't we throw three? Yeah, we did. Well, I see four, and they're loose walking around, and they have no hurt. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. You know what? I'd have found the exit, wouldn't you? I'm loose. You wouldn't have to say exit over the door. I'm going, but not them. He's had time to say, you know, we cast three, didn't we? But I see four, they're in there loose, walking around. And they're still walking around in there. And they said, true, O king, yeah, we did. And they're still in there walking around. How hot is that furnace? As hot as they could make it. What did it do to those mighty men on top of it? Killed them. Not these three boys, or four. You see, their faith is now triumphant. Do you see the point? We are threatened with a burning, fiery furnace too. And the devil, he can be your king if you want to, and you can follow him, and you can compromise, and you can back off when the challenges come, and the threats come, and the accusations come, and the tests come. But your faith won't be triumphant. You will have lost, and that forever. I wonder if you were one of these boys, you'd think, you know what? This wasn't worth it. What do you think they thought? You think it's worth it? Hey, we're in here, we're walking around, and this isn't hurting us. That's what I'm thinking if I'm in there. And that fourth individual that's in there as the Son of God, protecting them. What did Jesus say? Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I want to tell you, folks, there are some people today for which we've prayed tonight that are having a rough go in this life right now. You don't have to look very far to see somebody worse off than you, do you? If you don't know anybody, I'll take you to some places. We have some nursing homes, and so do you. Just take a gander. Those people don't want to be in there. They didn't want to be in there. They can't help themselves. Every time I get to having a little pity party, I think about some of my brethren that are suffering. But their faith is going to be triumphant. Their faith is going to be triumphant. The king calls them, come out. Come forth, come hither. And they came out of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of it, of the fire, had passed on them. Remember the burning of leaves? Just standing by the pile. You get the smell of the smoke or the leaves on you? Not them. And one of the first things that go is the hair on your head. I was lighting a water heater. And it blew up. Not totally, but enough. Took the hair off my eyebrows, eyelashes, and on top. And some of it didn't come back. And it stunk. But it took that. That little bitty flash. But not them. Not a hair on their head was singed, nor their coats changed, nor the smell of the fire passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him. Is that you? Are you giving in to the tests of the devil, the accusations and the threats of the devil, or are you taking a stand? Do you know what Paul said in the book of Ephesians in chapter 6? Yes, sir, you do. He said for us to put on the whole armor of God. Now, why should we do that? Verse 11. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. How long has it been since you've used the word wiles? And do you even know what it means? I'd rather not know what that means. No, you need to know what that means. This is a military statement. We talked about some of the terms that Paul used last night. Military terms. Well, he says that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That is his military strategy. You study the Civil War, the strategy of those of General Lee, General Grant, they wanted to defeat the enemy. And so does our adversary, the devil. He's walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And when that roaring lion comes in, by the way, when you watch Discovery Channel, you won't see them in the grass, the high grass, or down by the water. You won't hear them going, rah! No, they're quiet. They're quiet. Until they can get as close as they can. Like a wolf does. Did you know that's what a wolf does? He may be on top of the hill and he sees the flock down below. And he creeps so on his belly all the way in. What did Jesus say in Matthew 7:15? Beware of false prophets that come to you in sheep's clothing. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. They look like a sheep. Act like it, just so tender. And then when they get in the middle of the flock, they have their choice. And I always say, any, meeny, miny, and it could be me. See? Oh, it'll be somebody else. It'll get something else. I have to think and know and believe that He's after me because He is. Okay? You put on that whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the military strategies of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood and against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. I think He wants us to stand, don't you? And to withstand. Be sober, be vigilant, be cause. That's a 3B passage. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. Because your adversary, the devil, there he is again. And that's the way he was with these three boys. But they stood. Was it worth it? Will it be worth it to stand, or should we cave?
Oh, I just couldn't help it. The temptation was so great.
What did Paul say? He will not stand the temptation more than we can bear? Huh? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, about verse 13, 12 or 13. They withstood and they won. Look at Joseph, as we mentioned earlier. Was it worth it to keep himself pure? Was it worth it? What do you think? What a wonderful lesson that is as well. Nebuchadnezzar said, "Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Well, he just met him, didn't he? Didn't he? "Who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God." Let me ask you, how are you doing? How are you doing? You're either standing or falling. There's no purgatory in the middle. No, no, no. That's a false doctrine, isn't it? Nobody can pay or pray your way out of it. Therefore, verse 29, comes the vindication. "Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill." Did you know what's popular is not always right? And what's right is not always popular. Mothers and daddies, we like our children to be liked. We like them to be popular, but do not lose their soul for them over that. In the activities in high school, how long are they going to last? We've got to have her be a cheerleader. You know what she's going to remember when she grows up and grows out of that? "They, look what they let me wear. Didn't Daddy know? Didn't Mom know what I was doing?" You see, put your challenges and your accusations. "Oh, well, your church, you can't do anything." Yeah, there's the challenge, you see that? God doesn't want you to have any fun. No, I tell you what He wants. He wants you to enjoy this life in purity. And you can pillow your head every night. You don't have to worry what you did last week, last month, last year, or last night. He changed. They changed the king's law, which was not done. Never. And he made it a decree that anybody who was against this God would be cut in pieces. Their houses shall be made a dunghill because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. You want to serve the devil? Bad choice. And then look here. Last verse. And we'll quit. "Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon." The very thing that the enemies didn't want to happen happened. But they had to go through the test first, and so do you. Paul said, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, "Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." It's going to happen. Jesus said, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Don't feel like the Lone Ranger. I'm the onlyest one that ever got treated this way. Think again. You're just as wrong as you can be. Stand the test. I don't know what's going to happen to the economy. And in a sense, I don't care. I'm not going to wring my hands. Judy and I finally got $100 in the bank, you know. And when you get 100, you want 1,000. Then you want 2. Then you want 10. Then you want 10. And you want. And all of a sudden, guess what becomes your God? Oh, you can't lose that. Oh, yes, you can. Well, what are you going to do if you do? What are you going to do? Throw in the towel? Quit the church? Well, if that's a way you're going to... I tell you, want somebody who's going to quit the Lord. How about Joseph? How about Joseph? How about these boys? Well, this way it's going to be. We've been good. We've been carried off into captivity, and here we are. And now we're going to be thrown into the fire furnace. Well, oh, forget you. Should we? When the test comes? And look what, they were promoted. How about heaven? Is that a promotion? Why think? Want to go? Preacher asked the little boy, said, "You want to go to heaven?" He said, "No." He said, "When you die, you don't want to go?" He said, "Oh yeah, when I die, I want to." He said, "But I thought you was getting up a load right now." See? Would you? God says, "Right now?" "Oh, but I've got to get back home and see my wife, and I've got grandchildren I want to see." See? "And I don't want to go to heaven. If I got all kinds of excuses to stay here..." What? Guess who I'm in love with? Guess where my treasures are? If I don't want to go there. I preach a lesson. It's called Homesick for Heaven. You ever been homesick? Are you homesick for heaven? I know enough about it to want to go. I know enough about hell to not want to go there. How about you? Let's stand the threats, the accusations, and all the challenges and all that goes along with as these boys did. And we will be promoted, and not temporarily, but forever. How do you do that? You arise and you're baptized into Christ. And many of you have done that. Remain faithful. Don't let me hear of you going off to false doctrine, going off into immorality, quitting the church, being unfaithful to your spouse or whatever. Don't do that. It won't be worth it. It won't be worth it. And if you haven't done that, the Lord tells you, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And that's what we'll tell you. And won't you do that right now, while we stand, while we sing.